It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 25th day of October, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. And well, whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. And if you are listening to the podcast, please be so kind as to like and subscribe and leave a comment. And maybe subscribe on a couple of platforms. That way, if one fails to post like we had with Spotify the other night, you'll find out that it's been posted, say, at Podbean or however. Because the feed... The feed originates from Podbean. Hi, I'm Robin. If you are, however, listening live, well, feel free to jump into the Merry Wacky Zany Real-Time Madcap Multimedia Extravaganza and be greeted by the early arrivers, Theo and Squeaky. Roger was there for a minute, but he's still at the farm. He is not Bud Trimmer Emeritus right now. He is Bud Trimmer Senior Status. I think that's what they call it in the judicial world. He is actively Bud Trimming. And so I am your moderator on this prayer meeting Wednesday. There will be no high-quality moderation this evening, I promise you, because I bounce around from, story to story and don't often get back to the chat room, but Theo's there and Squeaky's there and they're waiting for you if you decide to check into the aforementioned Merry Wacky Zany. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, though, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 25th day of the month subscribers, and what that means is thank you. And that's subscribers at PayPal. Thank you very kindly to Mark and Peter. Thank you, Mark and Peter, for being partial sponsors of the program. It's very kind of you so to do. So where we find ourselves, and we made a great leap forward. Where have I heard that before? We made a great leap forward yesterday with TJ's Clean Up the Ketchup Challenge. And so we are only $900 in the hole. That means we are fully funded up to this past Monday. So Monday, Tuesday, and this prayer meeting Wednesday are the only things that are unfunded at this point as we run downhill to try for the second month in a row to finish fully funded. We have 1, 2, 3, 4... After this, we have 4 broadcast days left in the month of October. So we shall see what we shall see. So basically, to finish the month, we are at $2,100. But that's counting, you know, Tuesday, Monday, Friday, and Thursday. At this point, we're just at 900. There's Irish Dave popping into the chat room. Hey, Dave. And so, we have a speaker. Oh, boy, do we have a speaker. Mike Johnson is the new maggot speaker, and what a maggot he is. Anti-woman, anti-immigrant, anti-LGBTQ plus. Let's put it this way. The cis-het male Christian America has a Speaker of the House. I don't know if you watched the proceedings. I unfortunately did. I had it on while I was... I made a big pot of spaghetti sauce from scratch today. And so I was chopping my onions and chopping my green peppers and my celery and slicing the mushrooms and all of that and sautéing them and all the while listening to Mike Johnson utter some terrifyingly theocratic horseshit. I worry about anybody who thinks that he is God's personal choice to do something. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but you should be. Mike Johnson of Louisiana-stan, and in particular of Bossier City, Louisiana-stan, is former counsel, lawyer, for the Alliance Defaming Freedom. You know, that tax-exempt 501c3 grift that provides free legal services to bigots and Christian creeps. It was the Alliance Defaming Freedom who, among other things, was behind the 303 creative case for that poor, put-upon, allegedly Christian woman from Colorado who wanted the court to declare preemptively, because she'd never even had a request for business, that she didn't have to make no wedding websites for no queers. And, of course, our most puissant dread sovereign, Supreme Catholic Majesty, said, "Why, there, you poor Christian put-upon martyr baby. Of course you don't have to make no website for no queer weddings. There shouldn't be no queer weddings anyway." Yeah, that Alliance Defaming Freedom. The same Alliance Defaming Freedom that would prefer to see marginalized, at-risk kids unalive themselves than get to live authentically as who they are. That Alliance Defaming Freedom. And so as he stood at the podium, he said, "I want to tell my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in that room last night. I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us." Now, bear in mind, he was saying that to every member of the House of Representatives. Presumably, he thinks that God raised up any atheist who happens to be in that body. I guess he thinks that God, or some God, raised up Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar and Pramila Jayapal. No, not really. They're going to hell. Yes. There was another moment. Well, let's finish the quote. "And I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us glory to be brought. It is prayer meeting Wednesday, y'all. Grant me a little grace. To be each one of us to be brung here for this specific moment in this time. This is my belief. I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great country, and they deserve it. And then, speaking on the steps of the Congress, he again talked about it's written in the scriptures. He is, in fact, a Christian nationalist. The New York Times, that denizen of heathens, said, an evangelical Christian, he has voted for a national abortion ban and co-sponsored a 20-week abortion ban, earning him an A-plus rating from the anti-abortion group Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America. On the day that the Supreme Court, our most puissant, dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties, overturned Roe v. Wade in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health, he celebrated, the new speaker did, calling it an extraordinary day in American history that took us almost half a century to get to. And he and his wife host an evangelical podcast. Yeah. By the way, he did note, Mike Johnson did. He said, my wife can't be here today. She couldn't get a flight from Louisiana fast enough. I mean, things developed here rather quickly. Sure they did, Mike. Sure, Jan. And she's kind of tired. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this up. And she's kind of tired because she spent the last several days on her knees. Pause. Pause. In prayer. Yeah. Last year, according to the New York Times, Johnson, the Speaker Johnson, that's kind of creepy, introduced a bill that prohibited the use of federal funds for providing sex education to children under 10 that included any LGBTQ topics. It was a national don't say gay bill. Expect to see that in coming days, weeks, months. My wife spent the last several days on her knees in prayer. Yes, and then there's that Let Us Pray Together passage from Romeo and Juliet. Matt in San Francisco says, God picked me. It never goes well when a leader thinks God annoyed them. Just saying. Anointed them. Annoyed. Anointed. Just saying. I know, Matt. Just saying. Yeah. I mean, sure, it's great. It's absolutely awesome to have a Speaker of the House of Representatives who hears voices. Oh, but we're not supposed to talk about that. Don't you remember when Mike Pencilneck Geek got all butt hurt when people said, so Mike, you're saying God talks to you? He absolutely talks to me. So Mike, you're saying you hear voices and you think the voices are God. That's not fair. You're persecuting me for my Christian faith. That's right, Christianity. Evangelical Christians, the only people who can claim that they hear voices. And no one thinks that they should probably have some medicine. Ugh. And getting us started this evening, Ralphs says, I'm going to bet $25 that he won't last until the government shutdown happens. Well, the wager is on the table if anybody else would like to jump in. And there was that moment when reading from the script, Mike the Johnson, said, and the all the rules approved at the beginning of the 118th Congress will remain in full force and effect. That means all the rules, including the one where they can be forced to vacate the chair by a motion by one person. And immediately after that, they gaveled the session closed and went back to the cloakroom where Matt Gaetz took Mike Johnson's testicles and put them in an old rancid mayonnaise jar to stick in the freezer or the fridge. Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss. I couldn't agree with you more, Flavio. Flavio says, Elise Stupidnik, Mike Johnson, a bigot of the highest order. She was so cringe today, she seemed possessed. Oh, my God, and the posturing and the posturing over our partner in peace, Israel, was just nauseating. What did Elise Stupidnik call him a... Our most precious ally, Israel. Really? Our most precious ally? More precious than Mommy England? More precious than La Belle France? More precious than, say, Taiwan? Who's facing off against a few billion people who would like to overrun them and slaughter them? More precious than Ukraine, who's actually fighting to save democracy on planet Earth? Our most precious ally, Israel. More precious than Australia? More precious than all of our NATO allies put together? Really, Elise? And, of course, when he got the gavel in his hot, sweaty little Christian palm, Christo-fascist palm, Mike Johnson said, our first order of business will be to pass a resolution in support of our dear, dear ally, Israel. So the first resolution will not be to keep the government of the United States open. Y'all, I ain't falling for it. And look for them to have, you know, because this should, the aid bill should be omnibus. It should be aid for everyone who needs our aid. Ukraine, first and foremost. Taiwan, second. And then some beans and Kool-Aid for Gaza. And a whole bunch of guns and bombs and missiles for Israel. Ugh. And by the way, Flavio sent along this little bit. In April 2015, Mike Johnson proposed the Marriage and Conscience Act, a bill similar in content to Taliban Deanna's controversial Religious Freedom Restoration Act passed a few days earlier. Though Johnson lied and denied that his legislation was based on the Taliban Deanna law. Johnson's Marriage and Conscience Act would have prevented adverse treatment by the state to any person or entity on the basis of the views they may hold with regard to marriage. Critics denounced the bill as an attempt to protect people who discriminate against same-sex married couples. Governor Piyush Bobby Jindal, exorcist, pledged to sign Johnson's bill into law if it passed both houses of the legislature. IBM and other employers in the region expressed their opposition to the bill, including concerns about the hiring difficulties it would likely produce. Other politicians also objected, including Baton Rouge Metro Councilman John Delgado, a fellow Republican who called Johnson a despicable bigot of the highest order for proposing the bill. That's Speaker Despicable Bigot to you, Councilman Delgado. And Matt asks, anyone else? So during the vote, when representatives were calling out the name of who they wanted as speaker, anyone else think they were saying, my Johnson? These guys think about Dick more than any gay man I know. And that's saying something, Matt says. Oh, my God. Sometimes there's just an echo of the cowbell. She spent the last week, the last several days on her knees. Stephen New York says, and we didn't need towels to clean up because she's epically good at swallowing. Oh, there's a nasty little song we used to sing many years ago, and I'm not going to sing it. Promise me. That house meeting, Steve continues, it's like a Protestant conclave. All don't lay it all on the Protestants now. And by the way, Matt, you've just got an, oh my God, Matt, from Ralphs. But, you know, reality spoken here, and what Matt said was true. Ralphs. Emilio says, stop annoying me, Robin. Signed, God. So we had a little heads up from Jack in Shreveport last night about all of this. Because Mike Johnson is from Bossier City, Louisiana, Stan. And it's just kind of funny how things have a way of rattling around in my little noggin. When I heard Bossier City, my memory, well, a synapse fired inside the curious web of memories and observations and facts and that is my brain. A playwright named James McClure wrote a pair of one-act plays. They're set in Texas. It's just shortly post Vietnam, and the plays are called Lone Star, and the companion play is called Laundry and Bourbon. Lone Star concerns a pair of brothers, Roy and Ray. And Roy is home from the war. Ray didn't have to go because he had football knee. And Roy is having a hard time reacclimating to life back home in Maynard, Texas. Now, we are to understand that Maynard, Texas is in that part of Texas that ain't too far at all from Louisiana. And he's remembering his glory days, Ray is, and that mostly happens out back of a bar there in Maynard where he drinks Lone Star beer and eats popcorn and the like and talks to his baby brother Ray a lot about his experience in Vietnam. At one point in time, Ray says, Nam. And Roy says, you can't call it Nam, it's Vietnam to you. You wasn't there. And he and Roy relives, like I said, his late high school days. Basically, you know, he's one of those guys who peaked in high school. And in particular, and this is why the minute I heard Bossier City, I immediately went, oh, wait. Because right after I got out of college and went back home to Alabama and got myself a job working in the news talk station. Foreshadowing. I love theater. I hadn't gone to Alabama yet to work on my master's in acting. But I decided to try to put together an independent production, and I had read Lone Star. Put together an independent production, do it as dinner theater in downtown Tuscumbia, the little town with scum in the middle. Because they had an outdoor area with a stage and everything, and it was literally a bar and restaurant, so it was out back of a bar. It worked out nicely. There was an upstairs attic with all kinds of old signs from back when the place was a soda fountain and drugstore, so dressing the set was an absolute joy. Had an old Coca-Cola cooler that we filled with non-alcoholic beer and put Lone Star beer labels on. Got a friend of mine to play Ray. I played Roy. Got another friend from the radio station to play Skeeter Fullernoy, the nerd whom they both torment. And we put on a dinner theater production. It was well received. Food was good. Play was hilarious. And I remembered, when I heard Bossier City, I remembered the monologue, the Bossier City monologue, as delivered by Roy. And so earlier today, after hearing Bossier City, Bossier City, Bossier City, I went, and lo and behold, I found I don't know if it's a student production or an amateur production or whatever, of the play. And I thought y'all might like to hear, since that's where the new speaker hails from, and him being all pious and everything. Bossier City was quite the place back in the 60s. And I love this monologue, and it just seemed to fit.
Did I ever tell you about the time me and old Wayne went to Bossier City, Louisiana?
About 100 times.
Bossier City! Bossier City! Kind of has a ring to it, don't it? Bossier City! Babylon on the Red River! Sin! Hot women, sticky summer nights, biggest strip of nightclubs between Vegas and Miami Beach. Bossier City! One-armed bandits, teenage prostitutes. All the things that make life worth living. One summer morning in 1967, old Wayne came to me and said, Roy, we can either get drunk here in Maynard or we get drunk in Bossier City. So we drove to Louisiana. And Ray, let me tell you, as soon as we got there, wham, just like that, things started to happen. What happened? Saw us a car wreck. Wow, that was nothing. Saw three before we even left town. We were in three of them. Old Rain, he was one hell of a driver. Started at one end of that Bossier Strip, worked our way to the other. There was Club Flamingo, Log Cabin Club, Kim's Lounge, and the immortal Merle Kimberly's Whiskey a Go Go. Ray, it had three dance floors that lit up.
Well, did you dance?
No, I don't. Wayne danced.
Did you get in any fights?
Got kicked out of the Aces Lounge and Mr. Torch for fighting.
Couldn't get out of those fights?
Hell no, we started them. Then, at the Swamp Club, Wayne tried to pick up these two Italian girls. Well, their boyfriends didn't like that one bit. Let me tell you, you ever get down that part of the world, Ray, don't ever mess with no Louisiana Dagos. Ain't nothing worse than the Southern Mafia.
They're the ones that pulled the knife on you?
Yeah, they're the ones that hey! Heard this story before.
Yep.
Broke into my story. Where was I?
Well, you were right at the part where the Italians pull out their knives, so you and Wayne run back to the truck to get your shotgun. But then the Italians pull out their guns and start shooting at you. But you and Wayne make it back to the truck, and while Wayne backs the truck out of the parking lot, you fire at the Italians out the window. Wayne backs up into one car, hits a fence, and then as he's pulling out of the parking lot, sideswipes an oncoming Cadillac.
Lincoln Continental.
Or Lincoln Continental, depending on how drunk you are when you tell the story.
That story don't change. Well, it happened.
Sometimes you say a straight bullet kills an old woman.
Well, sometimes I forget that part.
How could you forget gunning down an old woman?
It wasn't an old woman exactly. What it was a bowling alley. It was a bowling alley up back next to the parking lot.
How could you mistake an old woman for a bowling alley?
It was dark.
Oh.
Anyway, we ended up over there at Kim's Lounge. Old Wayne starts to pick up this girl down at the end of the bar.
Yeah.
Before you know it, he's taking her out to the pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
Said it wouldn't take long. So I ordered another drink. And about 5 minutes later, old Wayne comes walking back in, white as a sheet.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Roy, let's get the hell out of Bossier City. So we did. And only after 6 hours on that Bossier Strip, we saw us two fights, two car wrecks, and a gun battle with the Southern Mafia. And Wayne Wilder had French kissed a man in a dress.
Woo!
So Wayne, down in Huntsville, here's to you, old boy.
Yeah, here's to you, Wayne Wilder. French kissed a man in a dress in Bossier City. Kind of wonder if the same might be true of Mike Johnson. Why Johnson? But they cleaned up Bossier City, as far as I can tell. There is no more Kim's Lounge or Merle Kimberly's Whisk-a-Go-Go or anything like that. And it's Bossier City. The Babylon on the Red River is now safe for good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians like Mike Johnson. Lord. I got a feeling we're in for some shit. And I'm not gonna come off my prediction that there will be a government shutdown, because that is what they want. The Republicans voted unanimously for Mike Johnson. You gotta wonder why it took 3 weeks for them to do that. Because they needed to kill those 3 weeks. Remember, they're going on vacation Friday. They're out for recess. Cue up Alice Cooper, school's out. But be very, very skeptical of a man who says that everything he does is ordained by Jeebus Christ. And among those who are crowing about the election of Speaker Johnson, the Speaker, kind of makes you wonder if you can get one of a Bluetooth speaker in the shape of one of those. Ah, never mind. It's just one dirty joke after another. But the man who now has Mike Johnson's testicles in a grubby old mayonnaise jar in the back of his refrigerator was real full of himself after the vote earlier today. I'm speaking, of course, about Matt. It just gets worse.
And everyone in the room knew at that moment that I wasn't the force for chaos. I wasn't causing disunity. That for the last 3 weeks, the reason the House of Representatives has been paralyzed is because for his own selfish gain, Kevin McCarthy was sabotaging the candidacy of anyone else because he was plotting a return. And we stopped it. And in the place of Kevin McCarthy.
And yet, curiously enough, Kevin McCarthy voted for Mike Johnson. This logic business, I don't think Matt It Just Gets Worse is very good at it.
We get a Bayou, Louisiana Mike Johnson, a brilliant constitutional attorney. He has been
brilliant.
A brilliant constitutional attorney. Sure. He's a bigot. He's a fundamentalist. He's a constitutionalist originalist. There weren't no queers in 1787, not a one. They were all good Christians. And that's why there's no queer marriage in the Constitution. Let's get a case right. I'll get on the blower and see if I can get the gang over there at the Alliance to Fame and Freedom to get a case ginned up. You know, there wasn't even a real case in that 303 creative case they 303 created. There wasn't a real couple trying to get that poor persecuted Christian lady to make a queer wedding website for it. No, it didn't even exist. And the person they said, well, you know, and so we can get anything up there in front of the our most puissant, dread sovereign, supreme Catholic majesties that we want to, and we can just lie about it if we want to, and we probably will. So we'll try, and just like Clarence Pubes on the Coke can Fappy Thomas Dunn said, what we'll do is we'll gin up a case, and it ain't even going to be real, but we'll get it up to the Supreme Court anyway, because we'll start it out with that Kazmarek cat in Texas or some similar shit as that. And we'll just fraud it through the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals and fraud it right into the Supreme Court. And Clarence can get his wish, and we'll overturn that queer marriage just like he wants to. And along the way, we'll overturn everything that's that has to do with substantive due process, except, of course, Clarence's marriage to Jinsurrectionist, because they love each other.
And my seatmate in the House Judiciary Committee for seven years, we have worked against the illegitimate impeachments, against the weaponization of this government. This guy did the toughest cases before the Louisiana Supreme Court. He is sharp. He will be as respected in the halls of our in the homes of our most meaningful, righteous and patriotic donors as he will at the rallies with our most enthusiastic and meaningful activists. It is going to be a great moment for the House. And you know what? At the very end, when some people didn't know if they could still even bring back McCarthy, a few of them just left the room and didn't vote. And the swamp is on the run. MAGA is ascendant. And if you don't think that moving from Kevin McCarthy to MAGA Mike Johnson shows the ascendance of this movement and where the power in the Republican Party truly lies, then you're not paying attention. But they are crying, they are hand-wringing and bedwetting over on K Street, because we have an honorable, righteous man who is about to take this position. He's going to do great things for the country. Ah, this is what victory feels like, man. We got more to do, but I've told you in the past, and I've told the audience in the past, don't celebrate yet. You know what? You deserve this. You deserve this moment when this godly good man takes this position, and we can godly. Finally show you what
it, yeah, when this mullah takes this position.
A fighting Republican Party in control of the House of Representatives looks like. I've not seen that in 7 years under McCarthy. And
I think we have a new moniker. Speaker Mullah Johnson. Oh-ho, it may stick. I have a feeling it will.
Paul Ryan, we finally get a chance with Mike Johnson. This is a great day.
It was the reference to his, he'll be able to tap into lots of money. And of course, the happiest person out there right now is, of course, Nitwit Nero. Well, I mean, he's happy with that outcome. He's not generally happy because he got bitch slapped in court in New York today. More on that later. More on that later. You get the idea. Yeah, Matt in San Francisco says, we picked us a smart one. A maggot with courtroom experience and an ability to lie and sound plausible. What could possibly go wrong? And listening to him speak, I mean, I use the silly cornpone accent and everything, but he, more than anything else, Mullah Johnson sounded like one of those staid and stolid, sedate Southern Baptist ministers who can speak to the congregation in even tones, all the while speaking the most odious, hateful,
bigoted rhetoric. So instead of instead of a shrieking bomb thrower like Jim Jacket Off Jordan, they're gonna get a guy who can make putting trans people in fucking camps sound perfectly reasonable and logical, and of course, Christian. Well, at least there's only a little bit of time left in this first session of the 118th Congress, and one more year of it to go. And if you are not motivated to bust your ass to make sure that these freaks, these fascists, these theocrats, these Nazis, these insurrectionists do not retain power, I don't know what more it'll take to motivate us. And again, they go on vacation on Friday, and they don't come back until the second week of November. Giving them about, well, no time at all to avert a shutdown. Because any anti-shutdown continuing resolution that comes from the pen of a guy who used to be chief counsel for one of the most bigoted tax-exempt grifts in the country, well, it'll be poison. Yes, says Steve in New York. When I think godly, I definitely think of the, what I definitely think of is the insurrectionist, anti-LGBT, anti-woman, pro-coup, election denier, bigot as speaker. This dispels any myth that all Republicans are the same. Fuck the Beatitudes. Jesus never really said that shit anyway. Oh, by the way. But her emails! I know. So, look for a ramping up of the weaponization of the government committee. Look for, as long as they're there, lots more shrieking and barking and grunting and hooting, because maggot civility, as practiced by Mullah Johnson, is not likely to include anybody who's not cisgender, heterosexual, Christian, white, and male. I hope we're clear on that. Kim, hi Kim, in New York says, who was that? I missed it. Who was that speaking in the clip he just played, having an orgasm, re-Mullah Johnson? Well, that was Matt It Just Gates Worse, speaking on that rickety podcast platform run by the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells, Stevie Three Shirts Racist Bannon. That's who that was. Trans camps. Matt in San Francisco says, now Roxanne. I'll be in the barracks next door. We break out just before sunrise. Yes, we do. And you know, we can tunnel under the stalag, and we can quietly carry this the dirt and sand out we'll help carry the dirt out in our petticoats. Yes. I plan to be selling cigarettes under the Southwest Guard Tower, y'all. And I tell you, you know what's going to suck about the camps? Having to be there with people like Caitlyn Jenner and Blair White, you know, the good ones. And Matt, I'm sorry for you, dear friend. You're going to have to be there with all those log closet Republicans, honey, and it's going to stink. Stephen, New York's bailing. I love you more than my luggage, but I just can't listen anymore. We have a fascist in the speakership and a murderous prime minister in Israel. That's Israel. Be well. I love you. No, really. Love you too, Steve. I understand. Odysseus will sit here lashed to the mast while everybody else is rowing with beeswax in their ears, and I'll be listening to the siren song of the Mullah Johnson. but Mullah Johnson did not come to the speakership without people actually knowing who the hell he is. And so it was that yesterday. Oh, no. Matt in San Francisco. Milo Yiannopoulos will run the commissary with Caitlin. No, Milo won't be there. Remember, he's ex-gay now. He no longer craves the D. He's a good Christian straight boy. He's been converted. I think no, Matt. They'll probably send him just to make sure. Don't you figure? But anyway, Tuesday, talking about Mullah Johnson. And the shit got nasty when a reporter with the Republican conference there yammering away. A reporter named Rachel Schott asked a most uncomfortable question. Rachel Schott said, well, let's just play the clip. Shut up. And that's Virginia Double X Fox in North Carolina standing right there next to Lauren Clanny Oakley Boobert, the corn shucker. Shut up. Well, the fact is, Mullah Johnson did help lead the effort to overturn the 2020 election. He pulled together a group of insurrectionist members of Congress to file an amicus brief arguing that COVID rules, get this, it's a struggle. COVID rules fouled the ballots, and it was, of course, summarily rejected. And so the maggots screamed, shut up, Virginia Meemaw Fox Double X did. Boo, boo. Next question. Because he is. He's an insurrectionist Christian. He's a participant in the domestic terror attack on the Capitol of the 6th day of January 2021, a day which should, but among far too many people in this country, does not live in infamy. Well, good for you, ABC reporter Rachel Schott. Or Scott, Rachel Scott. Good for you. You know you've asked a good question. When the maggots start, boo, boo, like they're, like they're in a crowd scene in The Princess Bride. Boo! And of course, Tom Emmer of Minnesota voted for Mike Johnson as well. And, of course, there was the blather in his speech about how the greatest threat to the national security of the United States of America is our debt. That's coded language for poor and working people to run and hide. Funny, I think one of the greatest threats to national security of the United States of America is billionaires. But, you know, what do I know? Let's check in with Representative Ana Pavlaguna, MAGOT, Florida, as she praised Mullah Johnson. I am proud of Representative Pete Aguiar. He renominated Hakeem Jeffries today, and he brought the fire. To wit.
Republicans were truly intent on solving our issues, reopening the House of Representatives, and rallying around someone to lead this chamber? Or has this been about something else? Has this been about a focus of House Republicans to find the person who can pass their extreme litmus test to oppose marriage equality, enact a nationwide abortion ban without exceptions, gut Social Security and Medicare, and support overturning a free and fair election? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. No one.
It is a fair question.
Nowhere in that candidate questionnaire is it about growing the middle class, helping our communities, keeping the cost of health care lower, and making life for everyday Americans better. The gentlewoman from New York said it right. This has been about one thing. This has been about who can appease Donald Trump. House Republicans have put their names behind someone who has been called the most important architect of the Electoral College objections. He's spearheaded. That's fair. That's fair. We know how you feel. Yeah, you've made that clear. He's spearheaded the legal effort, joined by more than 100 of our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, in support of a dangerous and baseless lawsuit to overturn the results of the 2020 election. On the eve of January 6th, some of my Republican colleagues even called this a failed strategy. Yet those same individuals plan to stand right next to him today. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, House Democrats believe that when members of this body voted to reject the results of the 2020 election, they forfeited their ability to lead this chamber.
I'm a little more extreme. I think they forfeited the ability to sit in that chamber. But then again, what do I know? And so what you heard there, damn right it was. That was Representative Ana Pavlaguna, who was reported previously to have been involved in a bit of sexy time. I know, gross. There goes dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone in the Central as well. A bit of a sexual liaison with Matt. It just gets worse.
Ugh.
I know. But everything Pete Aguiar said is true. They have elevated one of the chief architects of trying to overthrow the legitimate results of the 2020 election to the speakership. Note coming in from Billable Rick. subject line, Speaker Mullah Johnson. I just saw a news headline, says Billable, that Mullah Johnson is in a covenant merge, a religiously influenced legal agreement that makes it harder to obtain a divorce. I do believe some states, and they're, of course, MAGA Confederate states, have statutes about covenant marriage. This is one of those, yeah, it makes it harder to get a divorce. It makes it harder on the woman to get a divorce. Let's be clear. Yeah, and it's all based on misogynistic principles of Christianity that involve the little woman recognizing the supremacy of her man and submitting to him as the church submits unto Christ. How fucking gross. No wonder Mrs. Johnson spent the last several days on her knees, submitting. Ugh. That's right. Deficits don't matter. That from Count Dicula, Darth Cheney. Thanks for the reminder, Randy Radar. Clarence, with a note, Mike Johnson. My first duty station in the U.S. Air Force was in Bossier City, Louisiana. I was assigned to the 2nd Bombardment Wing, Barksdale Air Force Base. I guarded B-52 bombers and KC-135 refueler aircraft. I remember reading the local want ads with a request for a cleaning lady. The thing that stood out to me was colored folk need not apply. This was 1970, Louisiana. Coming from Philly, this was a real culture shock. I was 20 years old. So I can see Johnson being one of those good old boys. I have no... Yeah. Wonder if there's any black folk in the good Christian church Mike attends. Not encouraging. But we'll just have to sit around and wait to see how awful it gets, how quickly. There is a bunch of stuff in the news today, and we can't just camp out on Mullah Johnson. One of the most important bellwether votes to watch will occur on November 7th in the Buckeye State, Ohio, where we have found out that beginning quietly on the 28th day of September, just a few weeks back, a week after military and overseas voting started for the November 7th election, there will be statewide issues on the ballot like Issue 1. Issue 1 speaks to whether or not Ohio will enshrine the right to choose in the Ohio Constitution. And so, starting on September the 28th, the Ohio Secretary of State, a maggot named Frank LaRose, ordered that thousands of inactive voters be purged from the voter rolls of the Buckeye State. Again, voting had already begun. Representative Bride Rose Sweeney, a Democrat from Westlake, said, "This is a stunning order buried in a confusing directive on your website. We need some clarification." Now, theoretically, actually, the Ohio Secretary of State's office has been quite zealous, ordering county officials every year over the past several to purge the names from the rolls of voters who hadn't cast a ballot or responded to mailed notices. That's the tricky part. Over a period of 6 years. And they've been, like I said, particularly zealous in Ohio, who hadn't cast ballots or responded to mailed notices. So if somebody moves, but doesn't vote, and doesn't change their address, all the maggot Secretary of State has to do is mail a postcard saying, "You must call this number, or you must send this postcard back, or you will be removed from the rolls, and poof, no more right to vote. Now, you could reasonably go through there and say, and compare, say, the voter rolls with Ohio Vital Statistics and clear out the dead folks. That's just, that's administratively sound. As long as you know that the dead person is the same person as the person on the voter rolls, and that requires a little bit of effort. But fewer voters always inure to the benefit of the maggot party. And the question being asked is, why did he not wait until after the election to do the purge? Because he had done so, he had waited until after the special election in August on a proposed constitutional amendment that went down in flames. Because he was thinking he might need those votes, but now with issue one on the ballot for November 7th in the Buckeye State. Now, given the way that issue was resolved in August, now it might be beneficial for the maggots to have less voters, because it looks like women and people who respect them in Ohio are going to go to the polls and say, "Oh, hell no," to the maggots. With the maggots doing things like claiming that approving that ballot measure will lead to grooming of children and transing of children, which is, of course, bullshit. You can't be transed. And the only grooming is taking place generally by Republicans who get themselves in positions of power and then abuse it because they like to screw children. Staying in Ohio, just as an example, Milford, Ohio. Now, Steve's already bailed out, doggone it. And I don't know where Milford is. There's a restaurant in Milford. It serves American fare. It's called Copper Blue. Well, I guess Milford's near Cincinnati. It's a casual dining place. And the owner of Copper Blue One Brian Arlinghouse put a sign in the window of Copper Blue last week. Against the issue, against the ballot initiative that would make sure that women have access to reproductive care in that state, so that little 12-year-old girls who were raped wouldn't have to flee to some other state to get an abortion, because the Republicans in Ohio want 10 and 11 and 12-year-old little raped girls to have babies. Because God said he wants them to. God wouldn't have had them raped if he didn't want them to make a baby. Well, something interesting happened after Brian Arlinghouse, who is a devout Catholic, put his sign against the issue in the window of his restaurant. His staff fucking quit. Really? Brian Arlinghouse said, I told the staff, I started off by thanking them for all the hard work they do there for the restaurant. When it comes to this issue, I believe the issue is more than just a political issue. I'm a Catholic, and I don't believe abortion is good for women. You're a dude. I don't believe you have a right to say a goddamn thing, Brian Arlinghouse. And so on Facebook, he posted that Copper Blue, we have chosen to not support Ohio Issue 1, which has left us with staffing issues. Now, the first comment when he posted on Facebook came from Kelsey Shuffleberger of Miami Township, Ohio, who said, I've been to Copper Blue several times. Not recently, though. But then Kelsey added the twist and said, I certainly will not be visiting again. I strongly believe that a woman has a right to choose what she does with her body and what restaurants she patronizes. So in a desperate effort to make lemonade out of lemons, it's just going to be lemon juice. Brian Arlinghouse, devout Catholic, said, I'm going to take the next few days to deep clean the restaurant and give staff a bit of time before I decide when to reopen. I mean, some cooks and some front of house folks resigned. Others didn't officially do so. No, they just walked. Keep walking, y'all. Keep walking. You don't want to work for a theocrat anyway. Rotten bastard, I hope he never reopens. If people come to the polls and reject and approve issue one, it will be in a place like Ohio, just as they enshrined the right to reproductive care in the constitution of a blood red state like Kansas. It may signal something significant for 2024. And I cannot help but wonder how much barking and grunting about reproductive care there will be in Mulla Johnson's Congress. I wonder how many bills will be filed. Hateful bills. So they're purging the rolls in Ohio, desperately trying to force women into back alleys, force little raped girls to bear their rapists' children. Man. Oh, let's check in on the Kraken lawyer, Squidney Powell. You know, she entered a guilty plea last Thursday to 6 charges in regard to her election interference and her conspiracy with Donald Trump and all the other co-conspirators. In particular, with the breach of election equipment and stealing voter information in Coffee County, Georgia. But even days before her guilty plea, she was still posting shits on Shitter, claiming that the 2020 election was stolen from Donald Trump and that there was a law enforcement bias against conservatives. There might be a law enforcement bias, but not against conservatives. There might be a law enforcement bias against people who violate the law. You know, like Squidney Powell. She also posts over on Tripe Social. She also posts on that platform owned by Mother Russia, Telegram. And she publishes a Substack newsletter funded by her dark money gang, Defending the Republic. And those posts have come since her guilty plea, and she wants people to post items and YouTube videos that show that claim that her guilty plea was extorted. You may rest assured that Fannie Willis and her team are well aware of it. Because Fannie Willis is busy. CNN, citing multiple sources, says that District Attorney Willis is considering offering plea deals to at least 6 more co-conspirators. Robert Cheley, according to CNN, was offered a deal, but he turned it down. His pettifogger is some lawyer named Richard Rice, who said, to say that we are currently in discussions with the DA's office would be an inaccurate representation of what's going on. They made us the offer some time ago, and we declined it. God, go to trial. And Misty Hampton has been approached about a deal. And MAGOT campaign official Mike Roman apparently has been contacted as well. 3 other unnamed co-defendants have been thinking about pleading out. Fannie Willis is not one to screw with, because she gets her ducks in a row and then they all quack. The morning began, as my mornings often do, with a cup of coffee and my filthy morning habit. And the morning zoo crew was having no small amount of fun today.
We'll get to it in a bit. I'm curious what you believe the impact of Mark Meadows turning on Donald Trump would be, and also your reaction to Meadows' attorneys I don't know that I'd quite call it a non-denial denial. It was it may have been too clever by half. We've all seen people put statements out like that when they found one or two words weren't exactly right, and then tried to dismiss the overall story. But what's your take on all of it?
That's a great assessment, Joe. As you can imagine, we've all at NBC News done some reporting behind the scenes on this, and the informed speculation about this denial is. Or the question is there some issue around the immunity question? Was there mm-hmm. some imprecision in the ABC News report? There's a lot of different ways that a witness can get immunity. You can get what's known as a queen for a day, proffer immunity, use immunity. So that there may be some inaccuracies there. But the gist of what Mark Meadows is telling investigators, no one is disputing that, including Donald Trump's lawyers are not publicly disputing that. And just think of the impact before a jury of having one of Donald Trump's closest aides testify that he told the president he lost the election and that he'd seen nothing that would suggest that there are any fraud claims that could overturn the election, and yet Donald Trump was pursuing them anyway. Legal experts have said that prosecutors don't need to show that Donald Trump believed he lost the election in order to prove these criminal claims against Mr. Trump, but it sure would be helpful for a jury if they could establish that. Juries are humans, after all, and it paints a larger picture of fraud. And this also underscores that people with lives and careers independent of Donald Trump are not going to go down for him. They're not going to face millions of dollars in legal bills and potential years in prison to protect Donald Trump. Maybe a few people who have worked for him for his whole life, who are in lower level jobs, have this kind of blind loyalty. We've seen that. But not these major Washington figures or minor figures like a Jenna Ellis. They're just not willing to do right. it. And this stuff is really crumbling around Donald Trump.
Well, you know, and I, Willie, this is sort of the Christmas story a metaphor that I'm sure every great legal mind across America has been thinking. The BB gun, it's all a lot of fun until it puts somebody's eyes out. And while they're running around playing, you know, following Trump, thinking.
Yeah, wait a minute. Didn't we have a Christmas story reference on the program last night? Just curious. Yeah, I think we did.
Oh, look what he's saying. He's getting away with it. This is fun. Mm-hmm. We're getting to own the libs. We're getting to own the press. Oh, my God. They really talk about a feeling of immunity. They felt like they had an immunity, not only from the law, but from the truth, that they could say anything because this guy was president of the United States and he was lying every day and sending out lawyers to lie every day, say horrible things about federal judges, completely undermine the rule of law. At least they thought in their mind they could. They thought. But they could lie their way out of a presidential election. And then they wake up and suddenly they see the charges are coming, because it may have been a shock to some of these lawyers. But if you try to overturn an American election, well, law's coming after you. We are a nation of laws, not a nation of men. So we heard it from Jenna Ellis a couple of weeks ago. She said, listen, I don't have money. I don't have money like all these other people. I'm not going to sit here and blindly defend Donald Trump. He's a narcissist. He's crazy. I wouldn't even vote for him again. And so suddenly, it's all fun and games until it's not. She decides, and I'm sure family members around her said, you got to protect yourself. Stop lying for this man. Same thing with Mark Meadows. I'm not privy to anything that Mark and his family says, but what do you think his wife and children said to him? Really? Like, you've been following this guy around for years? Are you going to follow him to prison? And as Ken Delanian said, that is, you know, it's one thing to be making shit up outside of a courtroom. It's quite another to walk into that courtroom and get 5 to 10 years.
He's not wrong. And so those are the stresses on Nitwit Nero. And they were made manifest today in his fraud trial in Manhattan. Now, what did Todd say last night? He's not going to make it, Robin. Well, there's Todd emailing now. Yep, someone was listening to us. Sometimes it sure does seem that way. But Todd said he's not going to make it. And I think he is beginning to fray around the seams. Kind of looks like he's standing in a stiff breeze and being whipped about by the winds of fate. Michael Cohen took the stand yesterday. And Nitwit Nero immediately jumped on Truth Tripe Social thereafter. And said,
if we had any other judge, this case would have been thrown out years ago. He's a radical left Democrat who's totally controlled by Letitia James and her thugs, many of whom now have COVID, but did not tell any of us we're dealing with them in the close confines of court. In fact, they lost another thug to COVID today. Judge would not delay this scam election interference, no jury case, judicial and prosecutorial misconduct.
Never mind the fact that Justice Engoron had made abundantly clear that masks were available, but he couldn't put one on because that would detesticulate him in front of the COVIDiot maggot hordes walking around with onions in their socks, drinking quart jars of pee-pee that they keep in the refrigerator, and rubbing their gums with aardvark antifungal. And so he actually, Nitwit Nero did, got called to the stand today. Because he ran his yap again. Because he can't be quiet. He simply cannot be quiet in this court proceeding, which gives us a window into what it's going to look like when he has to sit in a criminal trial day after day, week after week, month after month, and hear his sins played out in public, akin to the reading of transgressions on that great getting up morning of Judgment Day. This is going to be Judgment Year. Today, Justice Justice Engoron. I don't know. I'm not trying to be cute with his. I'm not. So Nitwit Nero had triped about. The gag order is in place. He's already been fined $5,000, and the gag order says for him not to comment on court staff. But he went out and griped and triped about
the very partisan person sitting alongside the judge.
Well, the person who's sitting alongside the judge is the judge's clerk, whom he previously asserted was involved in an illicit sexual relationship with Chuck Schumer, which is just absolute madness, batshit craziness. And so after lunch today, Justice Engoron said, well, I want to question your client about that. I'm going to hold a hearing right now about that, he said. And so Julius Geezer had to galumph up and waddle up and sit his adipose bulk in the chair on the witness stand. And said, state your name.
Donald John Trump, New York, Trump Organization.
Even that was a lie because he changed his citizenship to Florida, remember? And then the judge said, well, who were you talking about when you said the person sitting alongside me? And Trump looked at him and said,
you and Cohen.
And so the judge continued to question him, among the questions, asking, noting that you only refer to Michael Cohen by his name. And then this. No wonder he looked like he was being blown back in his chair, like the guy in that old Maxell tape ad from the 80s. As a trier of fact, Judge Ngoron said, I find that the witness is not credible. My clerk was sitting much closer to me. I hereby fine the defendant $10,000 for violation of my order. The judge was kind of astonished. He looked Trump in the eye and said, I don't want anyone killed. And he said it outside the courtroom. I don't want anyone killed. And so today the judge said, why should there not be severe sanctions for this blatant, dangerous disobeyal of a clear court order? And added, this recent statement, assuming the Associated Press is correct, obviously was intentional. The person sitting alongside me is my principal law clerk. And then his pettifogger, Chris Keyes, who hasn't quite yet figured out that he has an unmanageable client who will not take his advice. Keyes said, oh no, he was talking about Cohen. But Cohen is not sitting alongside the judge, he's sitting in the witness box. Pettifogger Keyes said, I've asked him. That's exactly what he said. He's tired of listening to what he's hearing, and it's very hard. Well, you know, if he's tired of listening to what he's hearing, all he had to have ever done was not be a practitioner of fucking fraud. But things are going badly. Even yesterday with Cohen on the stand, Cohen said, no. Donald refused to communicate with me electronically or in handwritten notes. He'd only exchange numbers written in red pen. Because in the time before color copying, red pens didn't show well on black and white copy machines. Because they would look faint or non-existent. And the level of detail here is granular. With prosecutor, Deputy Attorney General Colleen Fayert inquiring about the nature of the insurance Trump carried. And so she showed a financial statement from a meeting with their insurance to Michael Cohen, and he said that Trump would pop into the meetings about three-quarters of the way through. When he came in, he said he would tout his net worth and tell the underwriters he was richer than their companies. Maybe I should self-insure, Trump would mutter to himself. And then came a 2014 email from Precious Princess Iwanka My Daddy Trump Kushner to Jason Greenblatt, Alan Weisselberg, and Michael Cohen. On the subject line, it said, Deutsche Bank to Morgan Stanley letter. and it was a forward of a note sent by Iwanka to one Rosemary Vrabic, an executive from Deutsche Bank, at which point the pettifoggers at the defense table perked their pink little ears up and started grunting and objecting and said, well, that was just a drive-by reference to the team. Talking about the Buffalo Bills, this all had to do with him trying to buy the Buffalo Bills and failing. At which Justice Engoron said, oh, I believe we can all agree that Mr. Trump never owned the Buffalo Bills, correct? Ooh. And looking at the documents, Michael Cohen went on and said, we would look at the assets and increase its values in order to achieve the numbers that he wanted. Every year, over several years, Nitwit Nero asked him to reverse engineer the values of properties to meet his goal of his net worth. You know, one of the things out of all of this that one notes is that someone who is well and truly stinking filthy rich doesn't have to run around inflating his values, his net worth. I mean, do you think Jeff Bezos does that? I mean, wait, hold on, because I'm pretty sure Leon Scum does that. But the ones who are really rich, and by the way, speaking of Leon Scum, I had a note from Brother Deacon Asa. Which is telling. Leon Tesla. Headline from Fortune magazine, Tesla warns that a federal probe into whether it exaggerated the range of its cars. God, they'll lie about anything, won't they? You know, these are electric cars, and how far the car, the battery charge will last, how many miles you can travel, is kind of a big deal with an electric car. Tesla warns that a federal probe into whether it exaggerated the range of its cars may lead to a material adverse impact on our business. Can these people say anything without it sounding like a desperate attempt to downplay a disaster? This is, you know, it's not Tesla, but it's Leon Scum, the same guy who gave the world the phrase rapid unplanned disassembly when the Dick rocket blew up. So underneath all this is the fact that the Justice Department has subpoenaed Tesla. And they want they want documents related to what Fortune calls potential personal benefits violations. They also want documents on the advertised range of Tesla vehicles and personnel decisions. They got the request in the third quarter, and so the filing says, there's the possibility of a material adverse impact on our business if the government tries to pursue enforcement of the law. In a sort of Trumpian fashion, investigations of Tesla are piling up. The DOJ is looking into Tesla's claims about their self-driving technology. Then the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission sued Tesla, saying it's been tolerating widespread and ongoing racial harassment of its black employees in Fremont, California, the plant there. Ah, damn, I hope it didn't hurt too little. And as Brother Deacon Asa pointed out, I hope they go bankrupt. It would not break my heart either. And any coverage of the Trump trial in Manhattan would not be complete without a sighting of counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana Habana Habana. Today, speaking to Justice Arthur Engoron at the beginning of the trial, or the beginning of the session today, she said, "Well, you know, Judge, back before Donald Trump found me and noticed my striking resemblance to melanoma," I'm making this part up if you can't tell, "I too was once a law clerk myself. And, you know, I find it incredibly distracting when there's eye rolls and whispering during my cross-examinations." And Justice Engoron said, "Well, of course, there will be no eye rolling." God, what a maroon. The Peter Principle at work. Alina Habana 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 has risen to the highest level of her own incompetence. Tesla range, Matt in San Francisco says, "We have two, a Model 3 and the Model X. I can tell you for sure they don't go as far as they say they do. My Chevy Bolt, that sucker went further than they said it would." I think Tesla will be in for some tough times. In my defense, we bought both our Teslas used, so the money didn't go to Musk. Additionally, out here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Teslas are like Ford F-150s in Texas. They're everywhere. You know, Matt, that was one thing. I hardly see them around here, of course, because nobody here has figured out that a plug-in electric vehicle would be good for the coal industry, you know, because clean carbon-neutral coal provides our electricity. Yeah. But last spring when I was up in Princeton, New Jersey, like, does everybody drive a Tesla? So, yeah. Just don't let it self-drive, Matt. Please don't let it self-drive. Oh, let's see. Let me run through that. By the way, yeah, we're well past the halfway point of the program. We're goose egg this evening. We started out with $900 to go to come current. Monday, Tuesday, and today. And Ralph's has a $25 challenge wager on the table. Saying, "I'm betting Mullah Johnson won't last until the government shutdown happens." We shall see. Thank you, Ralphs. And a quick reminder from Scary Jerry. Praise up for Mexico, Acapulco. Yeah. Hurricane Otis. Cat 5. Slammed into Acapulco. Almost without warning. Scary Jerry says, "Spellcheck is giving me no help as a hurricane fanatic. A gust from Otis, 1,000 miles away, gave us slight weather challenges last night, 30 seconds of intense rain. I had no idea there was a Cat 5 in the drink. Otis went from a thunderstorm to a Cat 5 in 12 hours. I'm Caps talking because this is new history. We've never seen that rapid an intensification. That's a week's worth of churning on less than a day. Otis hit a population center as well, 1 million people.
Raise your hearts, Horn family. It's what we do. Someone online said Acapulco looks like Gaza. I thought, looks like a nuke. Damn. That was bad. And every hurricane season will, I think, on balance, get worse than the previous year. Remember, Mullah Johnson is also a climate change denier. God created this planet. God created this weather. And God said he would never again kill all of humanity with a flood. Didn't say anything about fires now, did he? But it also probably has to do with the money that Mullah Johnson very likely gets from the oil and gas industry and the petrochemical industry and the like. Right. Yeah, you're right, Ralph. Lassie, get the sheriff. Not nearly as bad as it could have been, though. It was a great relief to pay a couple of bills. And chase the lupine pest off the porch for a little bit after everybody responded to TJ's kind clean up the ketchup challenge. Lord, I bet the ketchup's flying at his tacky ass three-story bungalow at the top of Trump Tower today. And he's being whipsawed, Julius Geezer is. On the one hand, he's thrilled that Mike Johnson is Speaker. And if he can manage to stay Speaker and not have the mutineers turn on him, if he brings out a continuing resolution to keep the government funded, that mayonnaise jar may suffer the same fate as the rancid peanut butter jar that held Craven McCarthy's testicles. But he's whipsawed. He's happy Mike Johnson is in there because he knows he's got an election denier in there if he manages to make it to the 2024 presidential election. Photo of him sitting right next to Matt, it just gets worse. He's not a screamer, but he is decidedly in the pocket of Nitwit Nero. And curiously, the amicus brief that he led 125 other members of the House in filing to try to overturn the 2020 election when the petition reached the Supreme Court, the only members of our most puissant dread sovereign Supreme Catholic Majesties who spoke in favor of it were, of course, Sammy Bad Breath and Fappy. But the funny thing was, it was such an inartful piece of crap, the suit was, that even those two fascists said they would not have granted the injunction that was being sought. But the important thing to note out of all of that is that 125 members of the House of Representatives aligned themselves with the insurrection. On the morning of the 6th day of January, 2021, Mullah Johnson went to social media and said, "We must fight for election integrity, the Constitution, and the preservation of our republic. It will be my honor to help lead the fight in the Congress today." And once again voted to reject the Electoral College votes
even after the insurrection. Dark times ahead. Let's go over to the stress line. We've got someone there. Hey, welcome to the program.
Robin.
Todd.
Hey, you know what?
What?
Excuse me. There's bacon. Holy cow. Somebody cooked a whole package of bacon. The line of food bacon. Good bacon.
Oh, the Food Lion bacon is very good. The store brand.
I'm just saying that that's a big deal because it's going to be a big deal. I only tell a few people about it. So, anywho, you know something? You know, earlier, I missed the first part of your program, but it seemed like you were, I remember, you know, we go way back. And I remember when you used to have to go on Fridays or, you know, some days to go to the post office box, excuse me, to see Busman Wayne and such, right?
Right.
So were you talking about him earlier?
No. The character in that play, Lone Star, the best friend of the protagonist, Roy, is a...
That's why I'm asking.
Criminal Hellraiser named Wayne Wilder. That's just a coincidence.
You see, this is what happened.
That whole Bossier City thing. When they started mentioning that during the election of the Mullah, it just triggered that memory of doing that play.
You know,
and Wayne Wilder French kissed a man in a dress.
Hmm. Well, no. Wow.
What it was a bowling alley. Yeah.
Okay. I've been processing. All right. So, you know, people do what they want to do.
It's a play, Todd. It's a play called Lone Star.
I understand
that. Oh, okay.
But I absolutely do. I sound sometimes very judgmental and everything, but really, I'm not. I'm just.
Oh, no, I don't. I never get
I'm
that
always fighting.
Of.
Well, I appreciate that because I'm always thinking about what people look at me and they think I'm a Muslim, and I'm like, what if I was? It's not your business. You know, because of the way I look. And frankly, you know, this is not what I'm doing, Scott. Poor old Scott. I'm so sad about it. Well, anyway, all I'm saying is that people shouldn't prejudge. So, anywho, you know, when you were talking about Tesla, right?
Right.
That reminds me. My one of my former friends, yeah, she's a former friend. You know, she had, she had two of these. I mean, she had one and she got another one. I don't know why. A Passat TDI turbo diesel.
Right. I remember the TDIs.
And, so there was some kind of scandal with the mileage on.
Yeah, Volkswagen. They fudged the numbers on that, and they got the initial bust on it came from a scientist at my alma mater, West Virginia University.
See? The mind. But, you know, and this reminds me, I'm not going to keep you because you've been doing a really good job of reporting what's going on because there's so much going on right now. And I'm sorry it sounds so tired, but it's been a long day.
Those happen.
So, yeah, I can even hear it myself, monitoring my stuff like this. So, Clarence, man, look, Clarence ain't no joke. That got me hyped up. I was glad to hear that Clarence, he told.
Well, we still have not heard the account of Clarence's visit to Thailand.
Look, I'm telling you. Do you know when? And all right, I'm getting off on a tangent.
Breathe, Todd.
All right. When I was a young person in my formative years, after we. Kind of before I went to boarding school, we went way out. I was way out. I was in the western suburbs, like near, you know, almost to Chester County. Really, Chester County was walking, like, really, it was right on the line of Chester County, which is, you know, it's way out. Back then, my God, late 70s, it was bucolic. And so, you know, things happen out there. Matter of fact, guess what? That pizza, the local pizzeria, was involved in the Pizza Connection. The heroin scheme. That's where we used to go to get slices and pinball. And back then, a slice was $1.50.
I remember those days.
But guess what? It tasted like it was worth every bit. So anyway, I lost my train of thought. Why was I going out there? There's something going on. Chester. Okay.
It's your tangent, man.
I know, right? I lost it. It was something that happened that was it was significant. But anyway, maybe it wasn't, because that's why I don't mind, and that's why I'm getting off the phone soon. But you know, I will say this: your news delivery, you know, that's a good thing. I think that's where we started. I'm glad, like, you know, breaking things down for, you know, for people. What I'm concerned about right now, though, is that we have two heavy, heavy carriers, you know, in the Middle East now.
Three.
Oh, it's three now?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So gas is going to go up, and, you know, this is like the rich people are just going to get richer. You know, it's just. Did you get that picture I sent you?
No.
All right. The mileage I got. Yeah, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. So listen. And you know. This situation we're in right now, the government's broken. They definitely were listening, like, you know, what we were talking about last night. It's just, come on. What do you think?
I guess it's just a curious little coinky-dinky.
Well, how many of those can you have before it's a thing? But it's okay. It's okay. You know what? I don't hate, because it only gets worse. You know? I mean, it's okay. But, you know, but you know something? People should keep religion to themselves, because this is like causing a problem. I think that's why.
But the problem, the problem is that the people who need to keep their religion to themselves are the people who think that their God tells them to force their religion upon everyone. You see the contradiction, the paradox?
Yeah. 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 Right. And it feels like we're moving into the new crusades. You know, because, you know, the Klan is active again. You know, obviously because of Trump. And
interesting you would mention. Interesting you would mention that. Because there's a story here that I have in the stack. You should see the stack. Nobody wants to see the stack. It turns out that I guess some people are catching up to Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently lost a significant amount of funding over his adjacency, we can call it that, his adjacency to real live, no kidding, Nazis.
Oh, well, that's quite convenient.
There it is. No, that's not it.
DeKlantis. Well, I mean, bedfellows.
Oh, yeah, there it is. There it is. From Newsweek, no less. Headline, Florida neo-Nazis cost Ron DeSantis his top ally, the only Jewish Republican in the Florida legislature, decided to endorse Nitwit Nero instead of Monkey Up because Representative Randy Fine, who serves parts of Brevard County, wrote in an op-ed published in the Fish Wrap, the Washington Times.
Yes.
Because DeKlantis has abdicated combating statewide anti-Semitism. He said he wrote it because our world changed forever on October 7th. And so, in particular, it relates to things like a campaign video that DeKlantis released in July that featured something called the Sonnenrad, which is a circular symbol adopted and used by fascists, Nazis. The Sonnenrad is affiliated with Nazi groups. Then there was the fact that DeKlantis, was as silent as a graven image when 40 Nazis waving swastikas and Sieg Heiling stood on a bridge giving the fascist salute in Orlando.
You see what I'm saying? This is a good time for me to ask you a question. I have an idea, but I want to ask you. I'm curious. How many times have I mentioned on your program that we should have stopped for at least 2 days when these neo-Nazis, these Nazis, these weirdos were marching and saying Jews will not replace us? I mean, before this massacre happened, how many times? I can't count. But I want to know what you think, though. Seriously,
August of 2017 was a turning point. Nazis came out and marched. Law enforcement largely stood by, and the only people who pushed back against the Nazis were anti-fascists. And then, of course, Nitwit Nero said,
"Well, there were fine people on both sides."
Very fine people.
Very fine people. Now, you know, maybe I sound like I'm defending myself, but I just want to be clear, because when I say things, it's like I come with balance. Because I think it was countless times. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was like watching these people wreck the Capitol. It's like, how could he? What is it, like, really?
I know we have freedom of speech and everything else, but we cannot have DNC as a permission structure. And it has nothing to do with what's going on in the Middle East. This is, that's a whole different animal. I mean, the Venn diagram does intersect, but these, you know, these are different issues. You know, so that's all I'm saying. It, you know, but life is complicated. That's what life is.
Well, yeah. By the way, you got some got a couple of notes. Mark in Florida said, "Todd, boarding school? Go Navy."
Oh, no, it was co-ed. Oh, man, are you kidding?
And Scary Jerry says, "Todd, Paisan, even though people with Philly accents pissed me off this week. Dolphin, dolphin, dolphin. Love you, man. Love your energy. Keep todding things up." Dolphin,
thanks,
dolphin,
Jerry.
Dolphin.
Yeah, you know what? My boarding school is co-ed, and it's funny because, like, I went to Choate. Like to visit because you know you go on a tour like you want to go to college, you know, see where you want to go. And I was like, I am not wearing a jacket every day. You must be crazy. And you know, there was a couple of like you know schools that people recognize. That was not my thing. I could have done that, but you know that wasn't eating. It's like a Prince. You know, you had the eating clubs. You got to have a little group when you go to eat.
Oh
you know,
yeah,
come on. That's,
little mini, little mini Ivy League.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't have time for this shit. I didn't then. I don't now. Fuck that. That's crazy. No, come on, man. That's ridiculous. All right. So, what's the plan? How are you going to solve this Middle East crisis?
Well, I'm all for the Bart Cop solution.
Wait a minute. Flush that out. Could you flush it out for me?
Well, I mean, I have in the past. But the Bart Cop solution comes from the late, great Bart Cop, who said that we should, and at one point in time, he was even offering up Oklahoma Stan. I said Baja California. We could buy Baja California, which is in Mexico, from the Mexican government, and we could pay everyone to clear it out. It'd be a little costly because of places like Cabo and whatnot. And then, you know, having paid a nice amount of money to the residents just to clear out that desert, then offer Baja California to either Israel or the Palestinians, whichever group decided that they didn't want to see their children die for sacred sand, and let them go and live in peace in Baja California. That's a bit of a facile explanation or a facile solution. But the bottom line...
I don't speak French.
I don't speak French. Damn you. Oh, by the way, I gotta change this out just a minute because going all the way back to the story about Lauren Clanny Oakley Boobert, the shucker, the corn shucker, I had a note from Georgian Korsgold. You know, Lauren Clanny Granny was standing there grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush when the reporter asked Mullah Johnson about his support for overturning the election. And
wait a minute, how can they do that? That ain't going nowhere. They want to get what they want. We ain't vote for that.
But Meemaw Virginia XX Fox said, "Shut up. Boo!" And all the maggots said, "Boo!" And Clanny Granny just sat there grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. And George and Korsgold said, isn't Clanny Granny an erectionist? And then added, Gunnar. Yeah, you get a fully muted, lame cowbell for that. George.
An erectionist.
An erectionist.
Well, you have to ask her sooner, won't you?
Well, they're not dating anymore. And going back, Theo also sent a note along and said, obligatory Robert Heinlein reference, the great the science fiction master, you know, what with Mulla Johnson declaring that God made him speaker. And it's a quote from If This Goes On, around 1940 to 41 by Robert Heinlein. The nice thing about citing God as your authority is you can prove anything you set out to prove. It's simply a matter of selecting the proper postulates and then insisting your postulates are divinely inspired. No one can possibly prove you wrong. And there we are.
It's right here. It's right here. Yep. Sorry. This is what I'm. You know what? You know what? I'm going to interject in just for 1 second, and please jump right. It's going to take 3 seconds.
Okay, you're fine.
You know, I remember a family member telling me, you know, I mean, I was young. I was like probably too young to hear this because I was going to church and everything. And, you know, it was like, you know, and I couldn't understand why he didn't go to church. And he said, you know, religion causes a lot of problems. People should keep their religion to themselves. And, you know, and look where we are. Yeah. You know, just keep your shit to yourself. Because your actions will speak for you. If you're a supremacist, it will come out. You know?
Oh, I think you're right. And let me add one more thing about Mulla Johnson. Flavio pointed this out.
Mulla. Oh, God.
Speaker Mulla Johnson. Yeah, that's Speaker Mulla Johnson, damn it.
Mm-mm. Wait a minute. He got 100. Wait.
He had every Republican vote, 221 to 209 for Hakeem Jeffries. Even the 8 mutineers.
What time did that happen?
Oh, what, about 2:30 or so? 2:30 this afternoon?
Damn it. That fucker, that's not appropriate. No.
Well, it's not appropriate, but it was pointed out how inappropriate it was. But that's what they wanted, and they decided to act as one because, among other things, the Republicans were beginning to realize that a whole lot of America was looking at them and going, wow, you guys really don't have any business trying to govern, do you? But this is another little factoid. This is another little factoid about Mulla Johnson, that I appreciate Flavio sending this along. Dominion voting systems may want a word or two with the new speaker in court. And this quote from a news story: Johnson played a leading role in trying to overturn the 2020 United States presidential election in favor of Donald Trump. On November 17th, 2020, Johnson stated, "You know, the allegations about these voting machines, some of them being rigged with this software by Dominion, there's a lot of merit to that. And when the president says the election was rigged, that's what he's talking about. They know that in Georgia it really was rigged. It was set up for the Biden team." Johnson also claimed that U.S. voting systems, specifically Dominion voting systems, were suspect because they came from Hugo Chavez's Venezuela. Now, that kind of talk cost $1 billion or so dollars to Fox News TV Radio Rwanda.
Right.
And the question here is whether or not Mulla Johnson, well, he wasn't Mulla Johnson then, he was just Maggot Johnson. Whether he said that in the course and scope of a congressional hearing, or whether he just did that in an interview. because the speech and debate clause does not apply to showing up on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda or that rickety podcast platform run by the man who looks like rancid hot dog water smells or news muck or Onan the network that spills its news upon the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So there's a lot of, like everything else, there's a lot of moving parts here. However.
Well, I wonder if the statute of limitations is passed for Dominion voting systems to take issue with Mullah Johnson.
That's what I'm saying. He's been named in this. He has to be in this proceeding, in that proceeding. So, which should, in some kind of way, disqualify him. This is the thing. Why are these people okay with what happened on January 6th? That's what we had to address. Like, why are this tells us who you are. You just, whatever it takes, you're going to get your way. Because, I mean, seriously, you know what? And I didn't, this is not why I called it off. But this Sidney Powell thing, this Coffee County thing, I have a little sore spot for white poop. I really do. And who the hell do these people think they are? They can just waltz in and say, oh, I need to look at these voting and tamper with voting machines. And then at the same time.
Well, hold on. In Coffee County, the maggots were invited in by a county official. A county election official.
What does that sound like? Well, what does that sound like to you?
A conspiracy.
So the thing has already started. I'm not going to say what it is, but obviously it's already started. Because between that and nullification, I mean, you weave all these things together, and it's a wicked cloth.
Oh, and by the way, in the time since he did become Speaker Mullah, they did come back to work. Never mind the looming, never mind the looming shutdown, or the fact that they're going on vacation on Friday. By God, they had work to do, and they got right down to it. And so, per the promise of Mullah Johnson, the House approved a resolution backing our precious ally Israel and condemning Hamas.
Jehoshaphat, yeah, you're right about that.
So that, you know, that was this afternoon.
She does the Israel. Jehoshaphat
Israel.
She is. You know what I'm talking about.
I know that. That's why that because obviously that is a network standard pronunciation now. Israel. So with the world on fire, the first resolution this maggot Congress, this insurrectionist run Congress, approved, was a 4-page resolution. Like I said, backing our most precious ally Israel, and the Democrats went along with it. The resolution was approved 412 to 10 to 6. It mumbled things like, the House stands with Israel as it defends itself against the barbaric war launched by Hamas and other terrorists, and reaffirms Israel's right to self-defense, and condemns Hamas's brutal war against Israel, and says Hamas should immediately cease these violent attacks and safely release all living hostages and return the bodies of deceased hostages. You know, fuck Hamas. But there's nothing in there about Israel should stop bombing apartment buildings where innocent Palestinian civilians live.
Well, they should ask themselves, why was Bibi supporting and financing Hamas? Let's start there. And then, I mean, that's just true. That's just true. I mean, NPR is having some good programming.
Well, when he delivered his first sermon from the speaker's rostrum, Mullah Johnson said, "The country demands strong leadership of this body, and we must not waver. Our nation's greatest ally in the Middle East is under attack. The first bill that I'm going to bring to this floor in just a little while will be in support of our dear friend Israel. And we're overdue in getting that done."
Well, no, they weren't overdue in getting that done. 8 mutineers threw Craven McCarthy out of the speakership. 1 mutineer filed the motion to vacate and slammed everything to a halt in the House of Representatives. And then they couldn't do any business because of the 8 mutineers.
Oh, well, you know what? All this is performed, you know, this is just all like Greek theater, you know, happy, sad, just a little entertainment. And I'm going to tell you, unless I miss something, if they don't change that vote rule, it doesn't fucking matter. If it twists his arm, if somebody's not doing exactly what they want to do, they're out. And what that does is keeps shutting the government down.
Oh, we're far from a resolution. We're far from a resolution of the shutdown. Yes, I do. I do understand what you're saying. And we are far from a resolution to keep the government open past November 17th. Now, you got to remember the Biden the resolution ain't done. The government shuts down on November 17th.
The shutdown's done. That's what I'm saying. They don't have enough time.
And they're going on vacation. So here's the thing out of this story that I'm looking at from The Hill.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go.
That's okay.
It's upsetting.
The Biden administration presented a $100 billion supplemental request that sends $14 billion of taxpayer money to Israel. I'm sorry, Israel. And it sends $14 billion for personnel and operations at the U.S.-Mexico border. Because the southern border, Hamas is attacking the United States through the southern border. Right? They've said that. I'm not just making that up. It sends $10 billion in humanitarian aid. And $2 billion for Indo-Pacific security assistance. But it also asks for $61 billion for Ukraine, who is actually fighting for the very life of democracy on planet Earth. And the maggots are already pissed that aid to our dearest ally, Israel, is being linked to the Ukro-Nazis, because there's a significant number of the maggot caucus that wants to hang Israel, that wants to hang Ukraine and democracy out to dry. And allow Ukraine to be overrun by criminals and punks and thugs from Russian prisons in the conscript army of Vladimir Putin, who have proven that they behave very much in the same fashion as Hamas. You could almost say that Hamas's actions mirror actions of the Wagner Group and Russian troops in Ukraine at places like Bakhmut.
Well, you know what? let's go back to our one of our childhood games, Risk.
Oh,
you know, build allies, right? You nefarious people. We're almost back. You know what? Remember, Get Smart. We're back to that. There's a chaos. That's where we are, because we appear weak on the world stage right now. And I'm disappointed in Jehoshaphat, because they sound kind of one-sided on a certain issue, but I can separate that out from other things. Because you see, like I said, raise your hand if you've lived with someone who's lived in a kibbutz over there and come back here. See, I don't see many hands. My hand is up. So I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Plus, I mean, I was intimate, like in the house with the parents, the maid, everybody for weeks. Going to Bimini, coming back, you know, South Florida, like, because they park boats in the canal on the backyard, like we park cars. So I know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm going to switch gears. So I don't want to hear that shit. I really don't. I don't want no blowback. No. Mm-mm. This situation is avoidable.
Sure it is. Everything is a matter of choices. On the vote in the House today, it's interesting that 9 Democrats and 1 Republican opposed the resolution about our dear ally, Israel. Those were Jamal Bowman of New York, Andre Carson of Taliban, Indiana, Cory Bush of Missouri, Al Green of Texas, Summer Lee of Pennsylvania, AOC, New York, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Delia Ramirez of Illinois, and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. Oddly enough, they were joined by maggot Thomas Massey of Kentucky Stan. Apparently there's...
Really?
Yeah. 6 Democrats voted present. Those were Greg Kassar of Texas, Joaquin Castro of Texas, Nydia Velasquez of New York, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, Jesus Chuy Garcia of Illinois, and Pramila Jayapal of Illinois. In Thomas Massey's case, he said he was voting against the resolution. He went to Shitter and posted a shit. He condemned the barbaric attack on Israel, and said Israel has a right to defend itself. But he was mad because the resolution didn't call for us to go over and slaughter the shit out of Iran too.
You know, this is what I don't like. I'm disappointed in Jehoshaphat, because it's a little too one-sided, because, you know, there's a reason that people are upset. It's like there's a nation state that has refused to follow the rules that were prescribed by what we call our world police, which would be what, Robin? United Nations.
Yeah, the UN.
That's our world police. And they're in perpetual violation since probably the early 50s. And, you know, I'm speculating here, but that could be an irritant to the native folk. Because I'm smelling a little bit of manifest destiny. You know, there's a lot of these different things sprinkled in. And this is just boiling up. You know, you have to solve this. But the reason I make some irritated sometimes is because, like I said, I'm one of the few people who have been around, lived with someone who's lived in a kibbutz prior to peak. Now, I did the math. So this was in the early 70s. So he was handling automatic weapons when he was between 10 and 13. You know, and killing people. And I mean, and he acted like, I mean, he taught me how to live away. He was like, he wasn't a joke. He was a killer. I'm serious. I ain't, I don't have to lie. I'm just telling you what happened. But, you know, they had to figure this out because what happened, they're dragging the whole world down into this vortex. Gas is going to go up. Watch, gas, I got to fill my tank tomorrow. Gas is going to go up. It's going to be a problem. You know, and this is so avoidable. Just, you know, humanity. Just stop killing people. I mean, what? Just follow the rules. It's like if you own a piece of land, if you're fortunate enough to own some property, a house and some property, you have a deed. And it says, well, your property is 600 yards east of Main Street, 400 yards in from Chestnut. You know, it's surveyed. And this is that's pretty old. You know, all you got to do is pull a straight string out and measure it. And you go to the courthouse and you have a copy and they have a copy. And that's pretty land. So it's really that simple. Are you on your land or not? Because it's causing problems for the whole world. Do what the UN told you to do. There's a reason there are some rules. Right? There's a reason there are some rules. Because it causes problems. And I'm just speculating, like I said, but maybe if you follow the rules a little bit, maybe the whole world will be not in this position. But you refuse to even accept how you even got where you are. And that's a problem. And the other side, Hamas, of course, is a terrorist organization. Are you kidding? Of course they are. What do you think they just popped up from? People are angry. You can't keep taking people's shit and not think nothing's going to happen. That's just physics. I mean, come on. Who do you think you're talking to? This stupid shit.
Hey.
And we're about to get in a fucking war because people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Because, and you know what? And I'm going to say this. I was very disappointed in Jehoshaphat when they castigated the UN, whoever, I don't know what their title is, but the head of the UN. Because they are absolutely engaging in collective punishment. You can't cut off all the water, all the electricity, no medicine. The most of that population there are women and children, young people. Now, there's a reason that shit is all fucked up. It's a ghetto because of their creation. And they refuse to even acknowledge that. And look, I support Israel. They are our strongest ally in that part of the world. I support them, which is why this gives me the right to, you know, offer some constructive criticism. You know, look, I believe in Israel. I do. But I think they can do better, just like we can do better.
Sure we can.
I mean, what?
If.
What did,
Todd,
yeah.
If we want to.
What?
If we want to do better.
Well, what do we want?
That's a giant if. I mean, I think the Biden administration is doing as well as you can expect a presidential administration to do under the circumstances. I would like it if it was a little more of a nuanced response. There is no nuance. But at least he's asking for humanitarian aid for Gaza, because Gaza is going to need a lot of money to rebuild all the shit that Israel is blowing up. I'm sorry, Israel. People are going to need homes. You know, weather happens in Gaza as well as everywhere else on the planet. And if you look at something, I know you're familiar with it. If you look at something like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, mm-hmm. You know, shelter's really high on the list.
Pretty high. Like, really high.
By the way, I had a note from Jude, the former Speaker of the House. Jude says, I can only imagine what Nancy Pelosi is experiencing today, since she always presented herself with a cloak of integrity and faith. Yet being human and the worry and pain must be piercing for her. She will endure. Peace, Jude. Jude, I think she has watched this this chicanery, this tomfoolery, this malarkey, with a mixture of horror born of watching an insurrectionist caucus rally behind one of their chief insurrectionists in Mullah Johnson. And a little bit of schadenfreude, like she evinced the other day when getting into the elevator, she said, I think they need to learn a little lesson in how to count votes. And that's dumb, because they actually did start learning how to count votes, so they stopped holding votes when it became obvious that people like Steve Scalise or Tom Emmer couldn't win. The only person who refused to learn was, of course, Jim Jacket Off Jordan. And Matt in San Francisco points out Jehoshaphat's defense. Today, Joe said that settlers killing Palestinians and taking their land has to stop. That's something.
I didn't hear that part.
A start. Yeah. Flavio says, "Say hi to." Flavio says, "Say hi to Todd for me." Hi, Todd. Says Flavio.
Hi, Flavio. I love you. And Flavio is brilliant. My God.
Yes, he is. He's even more of a practitioner of the art of word knowing than I am, because he can practice word knowing in several different languages: English, Latin, French, and Portuguese.
That's why people listen to your program, Robin. And I'm talking over you because I have to right now. This is what I'm talking about. This is some real doobie right here. Like, people who listen to your program, you know, they're at least paying attention. You have some of those brilliant, I mean, seriously, like Flavio, because he's Brazilian, you know, can you imagine speaking, being Duolingo and then understanding nuances of different, I mean, I've listened to Flavio, you know, he reminds me of somebody I met when I was in college, this guy from Chile. He was telling me about Allende. He was like, oh, you should come. He was inviting me down there. He was like, I had this big guy. He showed me where he was living. And I was like, damn. He was like, oh. But he was in the upper class, you know, and I felt bad. I didn't want to go down there because he was exploiting, you know, they were exploiting people. But not funny. Oh, man. But, yeah. Oh, Jesus. Look, you know what? Oh, it's time to go. We need more love in the world, man, and more understanding. And why the hell are we still having a war? It doesn't make no sense, man. It's stupid. You know what's going to happen. It's like, come on, it's physics. Like, karma is just physics, I think.
Well, there are wars and there are wars. There are wars of choice. See, for instance, Afghanistan, the Iraq, and such as. That's two consecutive nights that we've referred to Miss South Carolina. And there are wars of necessity. Like what's going on in Ukraine. Ukraine is at the top of my concern, because the entire world order can be thrown into chaos if Putin is allowed to overrun Ukraine. And the genocidal slaughter that will take place if he is so allowed will be the greatest horror that has taken place. Ukraine already is the greatest horror that has taken place in Europe since the end of the Second World War. It already is. And Vladimir Putin's intentions are genocidal in nature. Russians are not the same as Ukrainians. They are ethnically separate and distinct. They have a separate language from Russian.
Always have been.
And Russia has always had a bloody hard-on to eliminate Ukrainians from the face of the earth. Going all the way back to the Tsars, through Stalin, through the Soviet Union.
Preach it.
And now to Vladimir Putin.
They were subhuman. Yep. I'm glad you brought the program back to that. That's the truth. Because you know what? You are so good at what you do. That's the truth.
I refuse to have my focus diverted from what matters.
No, because that is, like you said, that, like, there are wars and there's war. Like this is like World War II, like, we had to do it. Because there is, unfortunately, there are just evil entities. And it's not the Russian people. It's just like...
It's some of the Russian people. There are some of them. There are Russians who are supportive of Putin. The oligarchs are still making money and getting paid.
But you see, we cannot. Russia has proved themselves now to be just. They're not. And why in the hell are they still in the UN? Because they're really not a good actor.
They're really not in the charter. They're still in the UN for one very good reason, and they're still on the Security Council for one very good reason. They got nukes. And they're a huge country. But I continue to be, and maybe I'm just wrong. I was wrong. Look, I was wrong. They actually elected a speaker. They decided they wanted one after all, instead of just letting it roll into a shutdown. I suspect it's because maybe the polling
one vote rule.
That it's still there. Any single member can file a motion to vacate, and it is a privileged resolution, and everything has to grind to a halt while that privileged resolution is considered. Matt Gaetz seems to think that things are going swimmingly, so maybe he won't do that, but any member can. And it might get ugly real fast when the continuing, if Mullah Johnson allows a continuing resolution to reach the floor. But one of the things Mullah Johnson thinks he's going to get away with is so-called regular order, where they will vote on an appropriation for Israel separate from a resolution for humanitarian aid to Gaza, separate from aid, say, to Taiwan, and most particularly separate from the $61 billion that the Biden administration wants for aid to Ukraine. If that happens, they will send their money to Israel, and everybody else will likely wind up hanging fire. Because if every maggot votes at the behest of Mullah Johnson, I mean, the so-called regular order thing where every blessed bill gets voted on independently and individually basically means a slowing of the business of the House to a crawl.
I like what you're saying, Robin.
We are far from out of the woods, and they're not going to stop being who they are. You know, this is that old Denny Green clip. They were who we thought they were.
Yes. Robin, you just explain and see, but you don't want to get sued for libel. See, I can say crazy shit and I don't have to worry about it. But it's not crazy shit. We have a whole gaggle of people on the tape for Russia right now that are lawmakers. Our fucking lawmakers are in the pocket of Putin. This is no conspiracy stuff.
And that's what I was saying. I would like to see more analysis. I could be wrong.
This is not.
But I would like to see more analysis.
I'm about pissed the fuck off now. Go ahead.
I'd like to see more analysis of the just exactly the manner in which the Hamas attack of October 7th, A, benefits Vladimir Putin, and B, has his tactical and military fingerprints all over it. I wish somebody would talk about that, because if, in fact, and this is more of that Sherlock Holmes, Occam's razor stuff.
If it worked.
If, in fact, Iran was caught flat-footed by what Hamas did, then that kind of means that they didn't direct it. Because the scope of Hamas's filthy attack was way over the top for what Iran has been up to of late.
Nothing like this. Oh, you know what? You might be on to something. I get what you're saying.
But
that's nothing for them. That's on the cheat. Are you kidding? They could do that on the cheat. That's nothing.
Like I said, though, rockets.
They always do stuff on the cheat.
Rockets are being fired on U.S. positions inside Syria. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So-called terrorist groups. And they are firing on U.S. military positions. Syria is a client state of Putin. Everything Hamas needed could have been funneled to them through Syria. It's disputed, but there's also the account out there of an Egyptian, a member of the Egyptian government saying, we don't know what's coming, but there is some nasty shit coming, and saying it to the Israeli government, because Israel and Egypt are at peace.
Pause. And see, this is like a bright light now, because you just hit on something. Remember that last skirmish in Syria, like the big thing a few years ago, some years ago, Russia is definitely aligned with Syria and Assad. I mean, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Assad.
Assad, right. Because I remember those gas attacks? We've had skirmishes. Our troops have had skirmishes with Russians in Syria. Now, so that's, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this. The Middle East is just a cauldron of shit.
I mean, really? Ultralight aircraft? Paragliders?
Come on.
Tell me, I mean, yes, Iran uses rubber boats to play chicken with U.S. destroyers. But that's, no, I, it just makes my spidey sense tingle, Todd. What Hamas did on October 7th looks exactly like something Vladimir Putin's Wagner group would do. And granted, Dmitry Prigozhin sleeps with the fishes, apparently.
But see, that's the thing.
The Wagner group is still active. By the way, just to throw this out there, remember, Psycho Bibi's people come from Belarus.
Really?
Yeah, his family is Belarusian Jewish. Belarus is sucked up tight against Vladimir Putin. Belarus is an ally of Mother Muscovy.
Yeah.
Israel has really not said a whole lot about the Russian onslaught against Ukraine.
Well, that's obvious because, once again, we'll have to say it for the, like, 110,000th time, you know, the zealots, the Zionist zealots from Eastern Europe, a lot of them are Russian Jews. And that's where they flock, and, you know, and they did well. And they're racist. They're very racist. I mean, this is a fact. I mean,
an 85 one of the Hamas hostages who was released, an 85-year-old Israeli woman. They're even turning on her. Her name is Her name is Yocheved Lifshitz. And she had a press conference subsequent to her release outside a hospital in Tel Aviv. She was released late on Monday with another prisoner, Nurit Cooper, age 79. Both women's husbands...
Oh, the ladies, the ladies' sisters. Both, yeah, you know, they look traumatized. It's yeah, awful.
But wait.
Hey, look, I'm telling you, that lady needs help.
Both of those women, their husbands are still held hostage in Gaza. And in recounting what happened to her, she said she was initially beaten and thrown on a motorbike to be carried into Gaza. But she said once she got to Gaza, she was treated very well. And now she is being attacked because upon her release, there was video of her shaking a Hamas gunman's hand as she was released from their custody. She went on to say that she and the other hostages had been given food, medical attention, shampoo and conditioner, and mattresses to sleep on, and that their captors said they would not be harmed. Her capture was horrifying. It was awful. She said, the young men hit me on the way. They didn't break my ribs, but it was painful, and I had difficulty breathing. She said her abductors stole her watch and her jewelry. And she was driven from the kibbutz near Gaza into Gaza itself. It was taken through what she called a spider web of tunnels. But here's the thing.
I heard that part.
She said, and rightly, that the leadership, the political leadership of Israel, effectively let the attack occur. She said that the authorities didn't take early warning seriously, and she said that the security barrier along the Gaza border did nothing to stop Hamas's ground invasion. She said it cost the wall. Look, another wall that didn't work. It cost 493 million dollars. She said of the wall.
Damn.
And it didn't.
$500 million.
Yeah, and it didn't help. Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
And she said that the people victimized by Hamas are scapegoats for the leadership. Now, this isn't some wild-eyed liberal publication putting this stuff out there. All of this was publicized in a news report published by the Times of Israel.
I want to find out if you, because this is what I've heard, I've picked up along the way, because I'm familiar with these two sisters. Because what struck me is that they were on a kibbutz that was, you know, they were, you know, there's a lot of things, but don't let me forget about the rave, the Burning Man thing, because I really want to say something about that.
Go ahead.
You know. All right. But these two ladies, see, what you're saying makes all the sense in the world because they were very intimate with the culture because they were humanitarians. They would get people to the doctor. They would get Palestinians to the doctor from Gaza when they had to go. They were helpful. They were like Samaritans. They were good people, according to some reports. And that and to do that, you know, when you're helpful to people like that, you know, you get intimate with the community. That's just natural. That's what happens. Like if you're in social services or whatever, you do some home visits, or you know, you take folks to the doctor, you meet people in the neighborhood and such. Now, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Is that the report that you've seen also?
It jives with what I've read, yes.
So that's what I'm saying. So she has intimate knowledge of who's doing what. Because people like that, they're not just metal. They're just trying to get people help. You know, like doctors, you know, you have to, you know, it's non-judgmental. Now, you know, Hamas is a terrorist organization that Bibi Netanyahu, because he's just a terrible human being. He's just like he appears. You know what? He is a jackass. You can look at you can tell he's just a jackass. I mean, he's just a jackass. There's no way around that. He's just a pompous, cocky jackass, and he has messed up a whole lot of shit. Because remember, he barely got in power. I mean, they had to like jump through hoops. I mean, it was just a big rigmarole just to even get somebody running the country because the shit was all fucked up because of him. But he finally like rounded up enough votes, you know, just like, oh, what's going on over here? Oh, wait, just like what's going on over here? Russia.
Ding. By the way, Flavio says, and then there's Israel. Some Israelis are more equal than other Israelis. So, you know,
equaler than me?
I, you know, it is literally Orwellian.
Mm-hmm.
But I despise this topic. Because, like I said before, it's like talking about school shootings in the United States. Talk, 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 outrage, 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 and nothing happens. And then there's the sliming of UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
Mm-hmm.
As Flavio points out, the psycho baby and his religiously insane ultra-right-wing government are just having kittens with crocheted tails over what the Secretary General said.
He
did not blame Israel for the attack. What he said was that it did not happen in a vacuum. And that's true. Didn't. That's true.
What he's saying is that if you were not, just what I said earlier, if maybe, you know, he didn't want to have to spell it out. Because it's true. Maybe if you had followed what our rules were, let's say in the early 50s, but you just continually defy the rules, and this is where we are, because you didn't do what the fuck you were supposed to do. Like, I'm not excusing violence, but there's a reason. You can't keep breaking in, taking people's shit, and think nothing's going to happen. It's just that, I mean, damn, it's that simple. It's that motherfucking simple. It has nothing to do with religion or race or anything else. Stop taking people's shit.
Well, so here's what Guterres said. First of all, he condemned Hamas and the attack, but he said two wrongs don't make a right. This is the quote.
Right.
But the grievances of the Palestinian people cannot justify the appalling attacks by Hamas. And those appalling attacks cannot justify the collective punishment of the Palestinian people.
Ding.
Which is underway.
Ding. Genocide. Ding. See, we're going back to where about 20 minutes ago, or I don't even know. I'm not looking at no clock. But when you, and I'm glad you, you know, you brought it up because, all right, we know on Israel does not want any Palestinians living in Gaza anymore. That's clear. They made it clear because they equate Palestinians with Hamas, just like a lot of Americans do. You know, and it's just a generalization. Even though the whole area is Palestine. Let's keep that in mind. That whole area is Palestine, going all the way up from the north all the way down to Egypt. That's called Palestine. So that's just a fact. So sorry if it hurts. Sorry. You know, don't cry too much. You know, drink some water. Don't look to tell you. So now, who is going to be? So they're just going to develop that shit. Listen, they're going to. Don't you know they're going to blow that shit up and get? Man, they got this big ass caterpillar. They're going to mud that shit up. It's going to be like Miami. Why? I don't mean it like that, but I'm just saying it's going to be like high rises on the sea. It's beautiful there. Oh, it's a land grab. That's really what it comes down to now. It's a land grab. It's so sad.
Well, I think that may even be an oversimplification. But by the way, with time running out, I want to let you know, Brother Deacon Asa said, tell Todd he's a bad influence, and sent me a photograph of a 15-pack of Rolling Rock. Wait for it. With a bottle of special blend whiskey.
That's right. That's the check. You got it right, Brother Deacon. I'm gonna check in with you next week. Look.
And then he followed up with some food porn, a photograph of homemade, oh dear, clam chowder with Szechuan chili oil. Ooh-wee!
That sounds good right now.
Oh, it sounds good, yeah. And I'm all stoked because now that it's all cooled down from supper, the from-scratch homemade spaghetti sauce that I did, I'm going to get...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to get me a great big plastic container, and I'm going to put the leftover spaghetti in it, dump the sauce on it, stir it up real good, cover it up, stick it in the fridge, let it get real cold, and sit overnight, and just... become wonderful, and then tomorrow, Todd.
You know what? That is, you know, it's funny. I was my better half and I were talking about that, like cold pasta the other day, because you know that can be a building block for a whole meal because you can make like a poor man's lasagna with that. Like when you
what we do here, and God, I love it. Yeah, because spaghetti is better the second day. It just is.
Damn right.
And so what I will do tomorrow is take all that spaghetti. I'll get an iron skillet nice and hot. Put a little bit of olive oil in the bottom. And put that ice cold spaghetti in that iron skillet and toss it. Maybe add a little water. And do skillet skillets.
A teaspoon or a tablespoon of water.
Skillet fried spaghetti, and then go wild grating in mozzarella and Parmesan, and make it all stringy and gooey, and that is when it's going to be really good. And I went a little wild. I chopped up some marinated artichoke hearts in it. I chopped up some green olives in it. Chopped up some. Kalamata olives in it, onions, celery, mushrooms,
ooh,
green pepper.
Shit. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's a meal. Holy cow. Damn, the olives got me. I'm sorry.
And toasted some of that gold miner onion sourdough and hit it with the garlic spread and had sourdough onion garlic bread to go with it. Woo!
Did you go to sleep?
Actually, I did. and so tomorrow, I'm gonna get up and go back to the gym. So proud of myself for having made it to the gym. go back to the gym, do another.
Wait, you made it to the gym. Did you sit in the parking lot and then go home, or did you go in?
I went in. Don't be an asshole. I know, just busting my chops. I went in and did 45 minutes on the treadmill and did some rowing machine and did some recumbent bicycle and got that little. You cannot say enough good about the endorphin rush, because yeah, I got terrible hang-ups about the gym, and because you know I can't be all cute when I go there and just look like a old woman, just an old lady on the treadmill. And but you know, you have to get over yourself and realize nobody's looking. Everybody's doing their own thing.
We're so different, but we have a lot in common. And let me say this as someone who's totally different than you. What I want to say is that, you know, as a social scientist, what I'm saying is that people have to be, why should you be constrained to be somebody you're not? Life is short. You got to be happy.
Well, yeah.
Be who you are.
But,
why should you have to walk around miserable because other people got their problems? Don't make us.
So I swanned right in and hung up my little jacket and put my earbuds in and
you were like in the 80s, like flash dance.
No. But I may have to put Maniac on.
Oh man, you know what? I remember that. You see, we remember, man. That was big. You remember, we were on the TV. That was a big.
Movie was huge.
We had to pick up people.
And I love it because it's just so very de Berg. And by the way, the brother Deacon says the chowder really hit the spot.
I bet.
I do too. Well, I got to get out of here. Nice. Been a great conversation.
All right. Always is, my friend.
Absolutely is. Todd, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And you're such a, you know, you're great at what you do, and everybody loves you, and keep your head up, and you know.
Yes, and today we begin year 19 of...
ain't that some shit?
Year 19 of a standalone internet broadcast operation. Onward, right?
Mm-hmm. Onward and upward.
Be good, Todd. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. And so that's the program. A little bit of good news on the domestic front. Apparently, the UAW and Ford Motor Company have reached a tentative agreement for a new 4-year contract after 6 weeks of strike. Go UAW. Go. And so that if Ford reaches an agreement, hopefully that will bring pressure to bear on General Motors and Stellantis. Most recently, the UAW expanded their rolling strike to one of Stellantis's Ram pickup truck factories. So good on you, Sean Fain, the UAW. Good on you. I'm feeling a little called out, Matt. Don't challenge me. Pink leg warmers. If you wear those to the gym, I may have to stop all communication. Now, there's no chance in hell. There is absolutely no chance in hell. My legs will freeze first. Doggone it. Pink leg warmers. Yeah, and fuzzy boots, right? The horror. Thanks, everybody. We were a goose egg this evening. We're trying to finish October fully funded. But a lot of serious stuff to talk about this evening. It'll be curious to. I'll be up and watching the House of Representatives tomorrow to see what the era of Mullah Johnson looks like. I don't know what's on the committee calendar, you know, because everything went to shit, frankly. So I don't know how they're going to go about it. I'll be curious to see if anybody says anything about a certain shutdown. My money is still on they will shut it down. And heaven help Mullah Johnson if he introduces a continuing resolution that Democrats can vote for. And remember, he has very little experience, Mullah Johnson. And so this is literally the well-being of the nation in the hands of someone who is getting on-the-job training. I don't know about you, but that doesn't inspire confidence in me. And I'm not at all convinced that this religious maniac actually has the well-being of the American people at heart. He has the well-being of the Alliance Defending Freedom and the Heritage Foundation. And, of course, his Orange God Emperor, Julius Geezer, at heart. And he has a soft spot for insurrection and domestic terrorism. Call me skeptical. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thanks to our a la carte contributors along the way. Y'all were amazing meeting the Clean the Ketchup Off the Walls challenge. Thanks, TJ. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you, Roger. I hope the bud trimming went swimmingly. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thanks, Brother Deacon Asa. Glad you enjoyed the soup. I need the recipe. No, I mean it. I need the recipe. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast, please. Leave a comment for the algorithms. Tell your friends and neighbors. Let's grow this program in year 19, shall we? Joe Rogaine or bust? I'm rooting for the bust myself. Shut up. Thanks, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please, get your booster, get your RSV shot, get your flu shot. Take care of yourself during this sick season. Wear your mask when you're around large groups, or especially if you're around maggots. You know how they are. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry it with you, pocket or purse. Be as socially distant as you possibly can. Be like West Virginia, socially distancing since 1863. You stay in your holler and I'll stay in mine. And if a certain bespectacled mullah from Louisiana should happen to approach you anywhere saying, "God meant for me to be speaker," avoid that homophobic, transphobic, Islamophobic, xenophobic, misogynistic, evangelical Christian like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Love you, Wayne. Later.